Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell now for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got a lot to talk about. A lot of stuff going on yesterday. What with the coach meeting the media after watching the film, and so we've got some sound from D'Amico on that. There is a lot. I heard some stuff this weekend. There's a lot of stuff going on. Ryan Grubb was asked about Oklahoma, Lance, and their ability to know what plays are coming. And
Ryan Grubb from Alabama?
Yeah, the OC at Alabama. He said, hey, do you know, Oklahoma apparently is pretty good at knowing what plays are coming. And what are you doing about your signs this week? And Ryan Grubb said, well, just if Coach Venables is watching, let him know that we are changing all the plays. We are changing our signs this week.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said he doesn't do anything illegal. He's just really, really good at it. And he knows how to do it. I heard this weekend that Indiana is really, really good at that.
Oh.
Texas A&M was accused by a Missouri player of the Missouri player said it was like they knew everything that was coming, that they knew our plays. Last night in the game, did you hear? Did you see the Eagles at the line of scrimmage? The Eagles called out, inside run.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an inside run. And it was, it's just amazing now.
Well, that's deciphering, but that's deciphering. Yeah. I mean, that's deciphering, just going over. I had a friend of mine who was consulting for the Saints and back when they won the Super Bowl, and he put a speaker up and had dragon dictation for surgeons and things like that. It dictates when you talk, it will dictate exactly what you're saying. And he put the speaker up and he turned it up very loud and he was recording everything Peyton Manning said, all of his calls and stuff. And then it would dictate what it said to the best of its ability. And then he would sit there and decipher what the play was, you know, what the general play was and see if he could figure out the code. And he figured out the one thing, well, he figured out a few things, but one of them was casino. And casino meant that and casino meant that they expected a zero blitz, so he was going to throw the slant. You know, they were running two different slants when he yelled casino, and when Peyton read zero blitz, so the Saints used that. And in the Super Bowl, they showed a zero blitz to try to get a casino call, and they got it. And then Porter jumped the slant. Yep. You know, Porter jumped the slant and took it in for a touchdown. And that was how they used dragon dictation and listening to Peyton's calls to decipher. It's probably the same thing going on right now, is you're just hearing that's why you got to change up your calls if your teams. This Larry, 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 that means left. It has something to do with left. You know what I mean? That's basic. Lulu, Leela, you know, R's are going right. L's are going left. You can't do that all the time.
No, right. Exactly. But
the other one, though, is spying the calls on the sideline. That's
listen, you can't use those anymore. I know somebody that his job now is just deciphering boards.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, universities are way ahead of that stuff. They've got entire division jobs just dedicated to that stuff. When Mike Elko was asked about it, I think it was might have been yesterday. He said, "Hey, you know, one of their offensive linemen said that you guys knew what plays were coming." He had a funny look on his face and he just said, "I don't know anything about that." And he he knows something about that. Listen, if you're good at it, you're good at it. Another thing that I heard this weekend, how about this? Mm-hmm. A coach, an interim coach, said, man, you want to talk about it difficult today to keep a team together. He said, I've got guys going, players, starters, going on recruiting trips to other schools during the week and then coming back and playing for us.
Wait, what?
He's got players that go on recruiting trips to other schools.
Wait, wait, wait. How is this possible? We're not in the middle of the portal.
Their players on the team are being recruited by other schools, flown in, looking around, and then going back and playing for that team, for his team.
Oh, well, it doesn't mean they'll get anything, but that is... Wait, isn't that illegal, though?
Because you think?
Well, it's not the portal window.
Well, you think? You think it's illegal? It's going on. Yeah. They're going in the middle of the season. Visiting other schools.
No one wanted any rules or anything, and so this is what you get. And this is
not true. People wanted rules, but the NCAA stuck their head in the sand.
No, there was no fear.
The NCAA blew it.
The fear was and the genie's out of the bottle. So good luck getting it back in.
No, right.
Good luck. I talked to a coach yesterday about this player who sucks. He sucks. They got him from a lower level team. He was a portal player, and they're like, I can tell you right now, and he's not trying hard and he's not doing anything. And I was asking him, I'm like, this guy had production and what's going on? So I called. He's a liaison guy, he's not a coach. He's a guy who does personnel and he's a pro liaison. And he told me, he said, I can tell you right now that there are actively discussions right now across all fronts in college football about how to write better contracts so that we can stop paying guys who are not actively trying. I said, that's going to be a tricky, you're going to have a show cause. You're going to have, a warning and then a second warning before you take, you're not just going to be able to say, you're going to have something in place. He goes, no, you're right. But I can tell you this, there are too many of these guys who just get the money and then they're not, he said, not showing up at practices, not showing in off-season practices, not lifting weights. He said, we're gonna have to put something in where we start taking money away from these guys.
Mm-hmm.
So that has nothing to do with, we're 7 minutes in and we haven't hit on that exciting game last night. But
yes, we did. They were calling out their play.
Yeah, they were calling out, head coach Don Casey had that. And by the way, he lives in Houston. Did you know that?
No.
Coach Don Casey.
Just crazy. I mean, guys are making $8 million a year. $8 million college football players.
Are you sure?
Yeah, $8 million.
Who's making that?
I can't say. I can't tell you. But
it's got to be a quarterback.
It is absolutely happening. Yes, absolutely.
Per year, or that's the total?
Per year.
The highest I had heard was 3.
No.
Three in terms of
higher.
It can't be rev share 8 because that would take up 33% of your entire.
It's happening. And what do you think? Just rev share? Well, you think guys are flying around visiting other schools that they're listening to?
Well, I can tell you this. I'll bet you all the money in the world that it's a waste of money.
Yeah.
That player is a waste of the money.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean,
shocker.
No. It's what you got to do now. It's crazy. It is crazy out there.
Well. Okay. Maybe they can get us. Maybe they can raise our rates on TV so we can pay for those guys.
It was just mind blowing what's going on out there, and I don't know that it's going to be able to change because, like you said, the genie's out of the bottle. That game last night was just crap. That was just crap.
It was. I will say this. I'll give those defenses credit, man. It was a playoff intensity on both sides defensively. Those guys were really. I mean, they were really swarming to the football. The Eagles defense and the Green Bay Packers defense, they were playing that like a playoff game, and they had that level of intensity defensively for sure. The offenses were just being swarmed under. If you didn't watch it was 0-0 at half. It was 3-0. What, I think in the fourth it was still 3-0. Maybe it was late third. And then 10-0, then 10-7. You had a touchdown by Josh Jacobs, cut it to 10-7, and then, that's it.
And that's it. Yeah.
10-7, Eagles get the win on the road.
Well, how about the 4th and 6, 27 seconds left.
Mm-hmm.
He's throwing the ball down the field, 4th and 6, and he gives the Packers a chance with 27 seconds left to tie the game. Their kicker just it was awful, but the kick was awful, but Sirianni said, you know what, I'll do it again. A score, we win. You know, I we get the first down, it's over. All of those things, but that was a bit. It was kind of weird. He's throwing a bomb to AJ Brown to try to win the game and giving the ball back to the Packers, and they had a chance to tie.
Mm-hmm.
There
is a chronic problem with unneeded aggressiveness in the NFL now. It's gone from being considered this is a really passive league, it's a really conservative league, to we're going for every fourth down. We're taking shots down the field. DeMeco Ryans decided not to try to shave off the clock against the Broncos. You know, I've cost his team the game potentially. There's no guarantee they would have ever scored again. But he definitely gave the Broncos a chance to win. There is a problem right now with the NFL balancing an aggressive mindset versus a conservative mindset and understanding how to manage clock. And, like, they all think they have to, hey, we're all gas, no brakes. We're all Dan Campbell now. Okay. I mean, you can take your shot, but look what happens. DeMeco gave the Broncos a very good chance to win, which they ended up doing. You had Nick Sirianni basically gave the Packers a shot. He gave the Packers a shot. I mean, it's just kind of, I don't know. There's a real problem right now with the NFL figuring out, hey, you know what? Sometimes it's not going to be the most badass in your face, macho aggressive thing we can do, but we also give ourselves the best chance to win. Isn't this about giving yourself the best chance to win?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I don't always think every fourth down, going for every fourth down inside the 20, is giving yourself the best chance to win. I just don't. I think, and my friend who's the analytics director for years and years, he said it's gone in a ditch, Lance. He goes, there's a lot of these calls that teams are making based on if they had the personnel of one of the best teams in the league. He goes, you can't make analytics decisions based on one standard static idea of talent. You have to look at your talent and say, this won't work for us because we're not good enough, you know, to defend, or we're not good enough to, usually it's we're not good enough to execute, you know, but everyone acts like, well, this is what the numbers say. Well, do the numbers say this for your team?
Right.
Does the number say this against this defense?
Right.
Does the number say this based on the flow of this game that is going on? He thinks that's not being taken into account at all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just all, this is the numbers. No, absolutely not. Absolutely right.
And by the way, Jordan Love last night, let me hit this real quick. Jordan Love on paper looks pretty good, right? On paper, he's got 13 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. You think, well, that's pretty good. He's projected to have 25-6. 68.9% completion percentage. I'll be honest. Jordan Love down the stretch over the last 5 games has not really been that great. This is not a guy who right now is playing, you know, we can do what we need to win this game. He started the year off like that. In his last 2 games, he's got no touchdown passes and 1 interception. He did have 3 against the Steelers, you know, which is good. But the one before that, in his last 5, he got 1 touchdown, 1 interception, 1 touchdown, no interceptions, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, 0 touchdowns, 1 interception, 0 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. This is Jordan Love has kind of tailed off here for the Packers. And no Tyler Kraft, and that's going to be
Tucker Kraft.
Well, God dang it. Yeah, that's right. I keep saying Tyler. I'm like, that's not Taylor. Tyler, where? Which one is it? I can't remember. And I wrote the guy up. And I actually like Luke Musgrave better. I picked the wrong tight end in that draft. But I think without that tight end, it's a problem for that offense. Because yep. He does not, man, Love does not look comfortable.
He has not. He's not been good. He's not been great. He just hasn't been. I don't believe in the Packers. I don't know.
I don't either. I don't either. I just keep saying in every prediction we have to make, who you like in the North? Lions. Lions. What about the Vikings? Have McCarthy? Don't get Lions. Yeah. Well, what about the Packers? Jordan Love. Lions. I don't trust you. Other teams.
Yeah.
I don't trust you. I trust the Lions.
And the Vikings went in there and beat them. I mean, that's crazy.
Well, and then Dan Campbell, because of that, took over play calling. How about that? In the middle of the year, first year play caller, snatched the play calling from
him.
Not
great for Morton. That's not great. Not great.
Is DeMeco going to start calling plays for Haley or for Nick Haley? Are we going to see a defensive coordinator calling plays for Kaylee with glasses on like Dan Campbell had?
Boy, Campbell did a hell of a job.
I mean, I guess so.
No, I mean, he said, well, the problem was is why the hell is Jahmyr Gibbs getting four touches?
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened against Minnesota, or he had four targets or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, Jahmyr, then look at what Jahmyr Gibbs go off last week when he's calling the plays.
Dan Quinn was so insulted and embarrassed by Dan Campbell, first-time play caller, running up that many points, that he took over play calling duties from his coordinator.
Did he really?
Yes.
When?
He announced it yesterday.
Oh, he just announced
it. After the game. He goes, wait a minute, this guy? It's my job now.
What? He's a defensive coordinator.
No, I know. He took away play calling duties from his defensive coordinator because he watched Dan Campbell run up the score on him.
Well, I mean, we saw Billy O'Brien take over, and Tim whatever is, I don't even remember his name. Tim Ryan? Tim? What was our offensive coordinator's name? Tim Kelly. He actually took over play calling duties just very quietly. And Tim Kelly was having success. Like, Tim Kelly and Deshaun were actually playing pretty well, and Bill's like, I can't have this. I'm doing it. I'm going to go in there and bust up this success with my calls. Okay.
Yeah, now watch this.
Usually it's season. Guys are backing off and giving the play calling away. Now we're seeing them take back over.
Watch this 9-7.
And I was reading, now I hold my beer while I take over play calling duties. And then my favorite, I was reading the quotes from Detroit and Dan Campbell about that. And he's like, and they said, well, what's that, you know, what was that like for John Morton, the play? He goes, oh, he's a team guy. All he cares about is winning. That's all he cares about. He's all on board. Like, he just wants to win. He's really helping out. Man, he's invaluable to me. Oh, yeah, I guarantee when he goes home and talks to his wife, he's super on board.
Oh, man, team this guy. Is great. This is awesome.
Team guy. This effing sucks is what he's saying at home.
You know what's great? Saturday, November 15th, that's coming up. That's coming up next weekend, right? Don't miss the second annual Rattle and Roll Car Show, the North Texas Hill Country's biggest hot rod and classic fall event. Check out SEMA cars from star designer Chip Foose. Meet Gas Monkey's Richard Rawlings and John Clay Wolf. It's sanctioned by Good Guys Rod and Customs. Show off your ride. All entries are welcome. You got a cool ride? Get it out there. Register at walnutspringsrally.com. That's walnutspringsrally.com. Foose, Rawlings, and Good Guys Rod and Customs, all on November 15th in Walnut Springs, Texas. Powered by GiveMeTheVIN.com. Sell us your car. That's walnutspringsrally.com.
John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brian Daboll fired. You know, it was funny.
By the way, good thing you're not here. You would have passed out and died because it was 41. It's 41 right now.
Oh, my God.
You would have literally...
Why would you
shriveled up like the Wicked Witch of the West who got hit by that house?
You hear him? What? Why would you live there is what he just said.
Why would you live there at 41 degrees?
Because we love our city.
Yeah. We're for the H. We want to be buried. We want to be buried in the H. You want to be buried in the L.
41 degrees is unlivable.
You got in a PJ and flew off and called yourself a refugee and tried to get food for free. In LA, too. I am a refugee from Houston.
Can you open up the steakhouse for me?
Can I get a discount for being a refugee?
It was not a steakhouse.
What was it?
It was Maggiano's, right?
It was Maggiano's.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah.
They do have a steak there, though. They do have a steak, probably.
Oh, yeah, they have a steak there.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of steaks, and actually, this is not a joke. Shout out to my man, Michael, from Pete's. My mom has cancer. And she's lost a lot of weight, and she's going through a tough time. And, chemo, radiation, just really tough. She doesn't like to eat. She grew up on a cattle farm in Kansas. I brought steak up there when I was up there a couple weeks ago and made steak for her and my dad from Michael's. Like, hey, I want you to take this up to your parents. I said, okay. So I made it. and they absolutely loved it. And that's one of the only things she would eat. Like, she loves it, that and gelato for some reason. And she just, nothing else tastes good. So now they're getting ready to place an order. Like, they're going to order a slab and just have it cut. A slab of, mm-hmm. I think she's getting, I don't know if she's getting ribeye to get some fat, or I think she's getting a strip. And so they're going to order that, have it cut, vacuum packed, and just sent up to New Braunfels, because that's one of the only things that tastes good to her is a steak. I'm like, man, eat a steak away. Steak, now eat some of the fat. You know, we got to keep some, you got to get some weight on you. But, and she's, you know, like, they're like, this is the best. And this, and our, Michael's a good friend of ours. He's beat cancer twice so far. He's beaten a broken back. Like, Michael's been through a lot, but he's been a good friend. And he's like, you tell your mom whenever they need something shipped up there, I can get the dry ice on it, send it up there. So if my mom wants to eat steak, if that's the only thing she'll eat is steak and basically ice cream, then that's what we're doing.
Get it from Pete's. That's the best.
Yeah, he does. Question. He does an amazing job. The steak is it's
unbelievable.
She's like, the quality is just, I'm not messing around with some choice.
So I got a question, and this question was asked. Why did Chris Greer get fired and Mike McDaniel stays? And why did Brian Daboll get fired and Joe Shane stays?
So here's, I'm glad you asked that. It's hard to just get rid of a head coach, because then you shuffle, You shuffle positions, and then you don't have a coach at one position. Exactly. A coach has to handle. The Brian Daboll thing, I was thinking about this yesterday. So Chris Greer, I don't know the reason for getting rid of Chris Greer at that time. What difference does it make?
You limit his ability to do things, right?
Yeah, you just say you can't do anything before the trade deadline.
You don't let him do anything at the trade deadline, or, you know. But getting rid of him and keeping McDaniel doesn't. Now, McDaniel's, you know, I think Daboll was doing a nice job with Jackson Dart. And oh, by the way, Joe Shane, there's a video of in the war room, Shane did not want Jackson Dart. Shane did not want to take him. It was Daboll's pick.
Mm-hmm.
It was Daboll's pick.
Yeah.
And that was the only thing that they've done right in how many years now? I mean, they got rid of Saquon. They get rid of Danny Dimes, and look at how he's playing. They get checked. They pick up Russell Wilson. What a disaster he is. Did you see the end of that game and how he played? He was awful.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. When Jackson
totally
Dart went out of that game, it was like, oh, my God, you have no chance.
I don't know what happened to Russell Wilson, how he
it's
totally loses
how
it.
Bad
it's like,
he
it's like
is.
A pitcher. You just assume quarterbacks can't get that bad that quick, but I guess it can happen.
I guess
it can happen. I don't know if he loses velocity, if he doesn't see the field as well. Like, I don't know what it is. You know, it's one thing for a pitcher to lose his fastball and be easier to hit. It's another thing for, you know, a shooter to, or an older basketball player who's not quick enough laterally, can't defend, can't get a shot off. But a quarterback, like, you can throw a spiral. Like, is your arm strength just deteriorate, or what is it that makes you go down so
his
fast?
Head. It's the decision making. Yeah. And he's just awful.
He is.
And Daboll gets he was Jackson Dart. That looked fun. I mean, what Daboll was doing with Jackson Dart?
Yeah,
it makes no sense to get rid of him and keep Joe Shane.
It did, but Daboll was going to be gone. I think
right.
I think the question is. See, so Shane had what looks like a pretty good draft, right? But you mentioned the quarterback, whatever. Cam Scatabo. You have Abdul Carter, who that wasn't a hard pick where they made it. I think Joe Shane, it feels like, I don't know if this happened or not, but maybe Joe Shane was with the owner just saying, you know, because he knows, maybe if we make the sacrifice here, I can hang on for another year. You know, maybe he did that. A lot of times you'll get rid of general manager, head coach, and then you draft a quarterback. Well, they don't have to draft a quarterback. So maybe they'll say, let's keep continuity at one of those spots. We'll make it GM, and we'll get a new head coach into work. And we need somebody to hire. We need somebody who knows the league who can hire the right head coach for Jackson Dart.
Yeah, well, it appeared that Daboll was that guy. And the problem was, okay, so Jackson Dart against
you think
Denver,
Daboll was the right guy?
I think he's the
as
right
as a coordinator,
hey, listen,
or head coach.
If Daboll is going to be an offensive coordinator next year, grab him, D'Amico.
What ahead of Mike McDaniel? See, here's the thing: he's supposedly a huge a-hole. Huge a-hole.
Yeah,
doesn't get along with the players. Great. You got to always factor in the CJ thing. you have to factor in how he would get along with CJ.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, he yells at his players like he's not really that super well liked. They say, you know, he comes from Nick Saban. I think he was Patriots and he was under Saban so he comes from that tree also. So I'm just letting you know. He's got Saban at Alabama. I think he was with Belichick, I believe, right? In New England? Wasn't he in New England for a while? Or no, he was with the Bills for sure.
He was with the Bills.
But he was with Saban. He was with the Bills. But he supposedly is an a-hole. I'm just telling you. Because somebody asked me this yesterday. If you have Mike McDaniel or Daboll. Daboll's a good mind, but I think CJ is a guy who
he was
fussy.
In New England. Two stints with New England.
There you go.
Well, that's where he learned that, a-holeness.
Yeah.
But the way that, listen, there were memes about the way he looks at Jackson Dart. He apparently just loved that kid and thought he thinks you're going to save your job. Hey, but wait a minute. You know, so they go to the Broncos, Jackson Dart goes in and it's wonderful. But the defense gave up all of those points in the fourth quarter. The defense gives up 38. The defense gave up 30 to the Eagles, well, 34
guess
to the 49ers.
Guess who made the decision to change
the defense gave up the game-winning drive
this
against
is one
the
of
Bears.
The, but this is what you don't know is he changed defensive coordinators this year, and it's his defensive coordinator that's doing this. That was a big controversy in New York is that he brought in this new coordinator, and this coordinator has sucked.
That's fine, but how is this going to stunt the growth of Jackson Dart? That's the most important thing in this organization.
Man, he's 20 and 40. He's got his last 3 years are 6-11, 3-14, and 2-8.
I get it. Joe, and you know what? This defensive line that Joe Shane put together is supposed to be one of the best in the league. Why are they giving up so many points?
Well, he may be gone at the end of the year, too. I'm just saying, you can't keep Brian Daboll. I don't know. No. If I fire him now, I don't know.
Firing guys in the middle of the year. By the way, LSU has not fired Brian Kelly.
This is turning into a stupid thing where Brian Kelly's basically like, I want all my money.
Yeah, but
I want all my
they're
money.
Trying to show cause so he gets none of it.
Scott Woodward has screwed this up too. He told him in advance, you know, this guy Scott Woodward was one of the most atrocious money throwers I have. You want to talk about wasteful. He is Pentagon. How much does a hammer cost wasteful? $160,000 hammer. Pay it. Let's get 1,000 of them.
How much did he give Zach Calzada?
So,
because well, I don't Zach think had he had anything to do.
No, but there's a Coach O video. Have you seen the Coach O video that surfaced where he talked about, you know, I had to go, it's time for me to go. And this Scott Woodward, who's a great guy, he came to me and said, you know, Ed, it's time to, probably time to go, but we got $17.1 million to give you. And I just said, which door you want me to go out of? And I mean... He did a deal where $17 million buyout for him.
Evolving into Sling Blade,
he
I think.
Did.
Yeah. This impression's becoming Sling Blade.
Well, really you know, kind of, it is.
Well, and now, but.
That's all he does is give away money to people.
Well, but apparently Coach O's ex-wife got half of that. She went to court. He thought he was going to get that by himself, that 17. And nope, she went and got it from the court.
Go ask her what she thinks of Scott Woodward. And you know what? I said that also Scott Woodward was a great man, gave me $8.5 million.
That's okay, what Mrs. O sounds like.
I'm assuming.
Ex-Mrs. O, wow. That's what she sounds like?
I got a lot of money, too, thanks to Scott Woodward.
Okay. Okay.
I don't think she sounds like.
Why can't Scott Woodward give us a 10-year radio contract like he hands out? He hands out 10-year contracts like candy. Jimbo got a 10. From him initially, a 10 at 75 initially, which put him at the top of the food chain. He gave Brian Kelly a 10. Like, man, you're just giving out 10-year guaranteed deals?
Do you know that the...
Yeah, but they're infallible.
Those
10-year deals
and fans will hang on. They'll hang on. They're not going to demand for coaches
to give 10-year deal for an underachiever. You know, Coach O and his wife's divorce wound up in the Louisiana Supreme Court?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
What for?
The ex-wife of former LSU football coach is entitled to half of a 16-point, as you said, million-dollar buyout.
That's why he's got to work again.
And it went all the way up to the Louisiana Supreme Court.
Well, how about that?
I wonder why. Why? What was the?
Is it because it was the state's money?
I don't know.
Well, it was because he said, "I got that money after we were divorced," and she said, "Oh no, you did not." That contract was while we were married.
I guarantee that's what it was. Right, determining marriage
right.
End date and all that stuff. Yep, I still don't know how it gets to Supreme Court. Isn't that just a Shouldn't that just be a judge making a decision?
Yeah, I don't know how it rose all the way up to the Louisiana Supreme Court, but it did.
Appeals. That state's different.
We got to break you.
It has different rules in that state. The governor comes in. Yeah, we got to get rid of Scott Woodward. The governor comes in and starts like, I'm going to get some hard practices over here.
No, he's not Alabama. He's Cajun. Yeah. He's Cajun as they come.
Yeah, he actually is Cajun.
He absolutely is. All right, why don't you talk about Craig DeCerf? He's Cajun.
He's not Cajun per se, but he treats you with the same type of authenticity and care for, you know, they want to make you happy, right? The Cajuns, especially when it comes to food, they want you to enjoy it, make you happy. Craig DeCerf does the same thing with his red tag sale going on right now, 0% financing. Finance rates for well-qualified buyers on a variety of Chevy vehicles that are in stock right now. They've got a Chevy Silverado pickup truck, 0% financing, and over 3,200 in dealer discounts as well. So they're really packing it on in the month of November, trying to hook you up. If you want to see what all the different specials that they have going on and different programs they have going on, you can go to Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. I've told you this before, the trade-in amount that they're going to give you for your vehicle is going to be about as high as you're going to find in the market. But it goes beyond that. It's going to be, they're going to help you, whether it's purchase, lease, shorter term, you know, 70. I did a 4-year for my wife's vehicle because I wanted to pay it off and knock down, you know, the APR interest. Well, it turns out the 2 months later, the APR goes down to zero, and you can make that a 72-month deal, an 84-month deal if you want to. So they just want to make sure you get the price point that you're looking for in terms of a monthly payment, the interior and exterior you want, and that you're happy. And with their customer service and the prices and the selection, you're going to be happy out in Angleton. It's Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, Camelot in the cornfields. Go say hi to Craig DeCerf and go get your next vehicle at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's talk a little Rockets basketball. Rockets with the win over the Bucks. One thing we didn't talk about yesterday. Well, listen to Tim Legler. Tim Legler is on with some dude, I don't know.
Pablo Torre?
Huh?
Pablo Torre?
No, it wasn't Pablo Torre.
You know, I've got some interesting questions to ask about James Harden.
You better yourself mocking him.
No. I'm just saying, whoever he says your name. You. I mean, basically,
if you thought Passan would come after you, wait.
Oh, Phil Mickelson's cook now.
Oh, my God. Do not.
Why would Phil get smart with Pablo Torre?
I don't know.
Don't get smart with him. Just say, sorry, Mr. Torre.
Now That's he's got all. Texts of Phil talking about our president's appendage.
Yeah, he's got his swinging into your face. Like, hey, what? What are y'all saying in your text messages, Phil?
What chat are you in?
Good Lord, Phil.
How does Is this Pablo how they Torre talk and live? Phil's text messages?
I don't know, but he does. He gets That's everything.
Pablo Torre's a problem.
Well, it's a whole noise. It should be called, not Pablo finds out, it should be called Pablo Torre's a massive problem.
Pablo Torre will F you up. That's what it should be called.
Hey, Phil, isn't it true that y'all, I don't like yours. Could you answer this question for me, Phil? Mute.
No.
I'm immediately blocking or muting as soon as he said, I need you to ask answer this question. No. Would you come on my podcast if I got a text from, hey, I'm the producer for Pablo Torre. Will you come on his podcast, Lance? Nope.
Nope. Will not.
I'm not going to say, what is this about? I'm going to say, nope.
All right. So listen to Tim Legler talking about that Rockets game the other day. I missed this. But I just assume that the Rockets are just going to out rebound you, and Steven Adams is a beast. But listen to this.
When's the last time you saw a box score that looked like this one from a team rebounding standpoint? Think about this. You just said 41%. They're grabbing their own misses. In this game, they had as many offensive rebounds as Milwaukee had defensive rebounds. I mean, you can't win. That's 20 offensive points, and for the game, the total rebounding number is 50-27. The Milwaukee Bucks have Giannis Antetokounmpo, Miles Turner. They play Bobby Portis off the bench. It's not like they're out there playing four guards all the time. All right.
Right.
And they got almost doubled up on the glass. So, and the reason it's so important is because there's going to be times when Houston's offense maybe can bog down a little bit. Now, so their offense is going to be fine, I believe. There's going to be nights, though, when you do a decent job defensively, which Milwaukee did in a lot of these initial possessions, man, they were expending a lot of energy at them. When you can't secure the defensive rebound, look, you give up 8, 10 offensive rebounds in a game, you're frustrated as a coach. You give up 20, it feels like the whole game that you're just sitting there watching that as a coaching staff. It's demoralizing. Eventually, it's going to crack you.
And it did. And it did. Steven Adams is leading the NBA in offensive rebounds per game.
Again.
And he averages 22 minutes a game. His 7.9 offensive rebounds per 75 possessions would be an NBA record. He out-rebounds offensively, but he's better than Dennis Rodman.
No, I think percentage-wise, for
he's
his career.
He's better than Dennis Rodman.
His career percentage, I believe, is the best in NBA history.
Yes, he's offensive unbelievable.
Yeah.
Clint Capella is even better. If he played enough minutes, he would lead the league. He currently averages 10 offensive rebounds per 75 possessions.
And, you know, it's not like, and maybe I'm stealing your thunder here, but I'm sure Amen Thompson is up there too.
Yeah, I would imagine.
I mean, all Amen Thompson does is keep the ball alive and give you problems.
And but we still haven't heard. Have we heard from Israel?
No, we won't. Not unless something goes his way.
A career assessment of Reed Sheppard. He's not going to allow like 5 games to change his opinion.
Well, his career set. Well, then he would call after 3. He'd call after 2.
I mean, wait a minute. He wouldn't even give him a rookie season. He won't give him 5.
He won't allow these 5 games to change his mind. Is what I'm saying.
His. This is not a fluid opinion.
This is a long play.
This is a static.
He's saying
he's going to cheer on his downfall as long as he can, and if he doesn't have a downfall, you won't hear from him.
Yeah,
that's how that's.
I think Israel believes 5 years down the line, Reed Sheppard will be out of the league.
No, he believes he's trash today.
There is zero chance he'll be out of the league.
I didn't say
zero.
He would be. I said that's what he believes.
Yeah, right.
You already know what the Israel deal is.
He is third among players with 0 starts in box plus minus, averaging 19 points and 5.5 assists, 4.3 threes, and 2.3 steals per 75 possessions. He's third in plus minus.
Give people some context.
Non-starters.
Who are the other people? Do we have some contemporaries? Who's he around as far as players?
I don't have that. Tari Eason averaging 17 points. Tari Eason, as good as he's been, is averaging fewer points per 75 possessions than Reed Sheppard. And
Tari had a bad first 2 games. Bad scoring first 2 games, which he's been a lot better. Reed has just, listen, Reed had real trouble out of the gates. But now that they've kind of figured out how they're going to handle, and you haven't had defensive pressure like you did against Oklahoma City. That was something I overestimated. I thought, I am going after the Rockets in the backcourt every single time. Yeah. And I still think that is something teams should be doing.
I think teams that are capable will do it.
Yeah.
Yes, right.
But some teams just
is it just because they're not deep enough? Like all you got to do is pick the Rockets up and slow them down.
It's just
in the
not the mindset of the team itself. Well, like the Spurs said, we're gonna muck everything up. We got the guys who can do it. Some teams have that mindset. Others don't. Like you're not gonna have the Wizards do that to you.
You gotta be really good on the perimeter, and they've got Lu Dort. They've got Williams. They've got SGA. I mean,
well, their bench is loaded too with guys who can defend.
Yeah, they're different. They're different. Not everybody can do. Not everybody can do that. I tell you what, the Spurs were. They were long. The Spurs were tough. Mm-hmm. The Spurs were really, really tough.
But Reed is when Reed is settled in. What we're finding out is every once in a while he'll throw an air ball up and it won't look good. But Reed Sheppard has never lost his confidence. I give him a lot of credit. Like. He never was afraid to keep shooting the ball. That was something that you could tell last year year.
But I heard Ime the other day said, you know what? He's finally. We tell him that this is what you do: take the shot.
Yeah,
and he's finally doing it.
He clearly has.
He wasn't doing what Ime was telling him because I don't know if he didn't trust it or didn't. He didn't feel comfortable. When you got Kevin Durant and you got Alpi and you got Jabari, you got all these shooters, and you're like, this is my shot. That's got to be a little difficult, especially for a young player. You know, I'm gonna try to get the ball to Kevin mm-hmm. Durant.
Yeah, but there's a difference between looking for. See, he looks for a shot. It's one thing that if you're open, catch and shoot, he's never going to pass that up, which is good. I mean, he shouldn't. He's an elite shooter. I've never, ever once on all my family have ever worried about a shooting. Never. I worry about other things like defense, like being able to control, you know, handle the ball and stay out of turnover numbers and things like that. The shooting, even when he's down, like great shooters are just great shooters. That's all there is to it. That's what you are. But he is tightened it up, and he also will come off of screens and shoot. Like he'll off ball screens. He'll dribble and get a screen from Alpi or even KD, and he'll come up looking to fire, looking to shoot on three. And that's when you know it's an aggressive mindset. But I tell you what, after those first two games, I'm like, oh no. And now it's like, okay, I don't know if he's going to be a full time starter for his whole career. Maybe he'll be a Steve Kerr type. You know, maybe he'll be one of those spot up shooters. Ray Allen.
He ain't going to start here. Not for, I don't know, anytime soon.
Well, there's only a 1 year deal. Well, if he can handle the ball, Fred VanVleet could be gone.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how good.
Well, he only has a 2 year deal.
Somebody put out on Twitter that the Rockets are watching the Kyrie Irving situation to see how he is progressing, that because they're looking for a guard. Kyrie?
Who said that? Somebody on Twitter said that? Who's not stupid?
No, somebody.
Is it somebody who knows how much money Kyrie makes and that he wouldn't fit under the cap?
Well, you can make it. You got cap. You can trade plus others if you really want them.
Who you're trading. The trade game I've noticed breaks down as soon as you start taking players away from the Rockets and everyone realizes, that's no good.
Well, that's because people just want it all and don't want to give anything up. It's the same in the summer.
Tari and Jabari have to go and draft picks. You okay with that?
Well,
no.
Ask the people who want Kyrie. I mean,
well, it's just some guy named Gary on Twitter.
I don't know if it's Gary.
There's some guy, Gary and Steve and Kremley 6437662 48.
But we just had that. We might value the players differently, but we just saw the Rockets give up two foundational pieces to a 51 team to go get Kevin Durant. So who knows they're actively thinking
about? But that is a player. That is a player who is on a different level.
Well, mm-hmm. Kyrie, when healthy, is a.
He is also has been a disruptor on every team he's been. He's been
understood.
When
people would look at Kevin Durant and say, "Since you left Golden State, all
you're
the places you've
hard
gone,
on this."
I'm not trying too hard. I'm
Kevin Durant.
You
just made a comparison that attitude wise, that KD and Kyrie are
Kevin
the same.
Kevin Durant, what has he done since he left Golden State other than torpedo? Not on his own, but the places he's been. What
is it through his
franchises?
Actions on and off the court?
He hasn't.
It has not. He's not been an
Kyrie
on and off the court.
And by the way,
issue.
Kyrie last year with Dallas was not.
He wasn't
the
bad
guy
last
you're talking
year.
About
why
anymore.
Would you? But why would you like? We're even having this conversation. You're subtracting key elements of a rebound focused team, a defensive focused team.
Why are you doing this? He's just starting you up.
I know.
I'm not starting him up, but the Rockets have shown that they will be aggressive when a move fits. So yes. I don't know where that
I
came
don't know.
From.
They
but
will. I don't know that Kyrie is at.
You did this, John. You started this.
Well, I mean, it started a conversation.
Yeah, I didn't think they
that
were
you
after
hate
Kyrie.
You, that you poo-pooing, and Dell is all for.
I'm not all for.
Because he's a sleeper agent.
It would not surprise me if the Rockets were looking for another acquisition. I don't know if that is Kyrie.
It wouldn't shock me to see them looking at a backup point guard. Yes.
Yeah, it's not going
to
be a Kyrie. No. It won't be a Kyrie.
It costs a lot.
Yeah, I could see him just getting a point guard.
Yeah,
know,
I can see
a
that.
A facilitator. Yep.
Yeah, for sure. But it would be more like a backup, I think. Or somebody who could come in. It doesn't matter. Somebody who could come in and get minutes when they need to. A Kyrie Irving is just, you're talking about just a, he's a great talent, but man, is that, you are taking a chance on chemistry.
Oh, yeah. All right. I don't know. He's been a good citizen.
He went to the finals last year. He was healthy. Yeah.
He's been.
At any point, somebody could have a birthday party or there could be an HOA meeting.
You're talking that's like 5 years ago.
It all breaks down.
Such a hater. And then when he's a Rocket, you'll be like, "Oh, I kind of like, just, I like his
no,
his
Kyrie
flightiness."
Is not, KD has
That's
never
fun
been.
For the
KD
team.
Is never no.
All
I
right,
don't want.
We got
Kyrie.
A break.
No.
I want to talk to you. Quickly.
I do like that he makes $36 million this year, and somehow we'll have to
That's
match salaries.
That's not much. Well, I want to tell you about. I want to tell you about Damaris. Damaris, listen. If you haven't ordered your turkey, I'm Cajun turkey. I'm telling you, it's the best. So you're looking for a great way to get that Cajun turkey on your table. You got to do it now because he's having his biggest year ever on the turkeys. So you make sure that you get in before they say, we just can't do anymore. Hurry. Go to Demaris, DemeriS.com, and get all the fixing, not just the turkey. Demaris.com. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. Hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Dell's got a trade. Dell?
It's one of the worst trades I've ever heard.
The cornerstone of the trade for the Mavs on the Mavs side, they get Tar Eason, a couple first-rounders, and then to make the money work, they have to accept Fred's 25. Plus, Jay Sean, they got to make the money work. But the cornerstone for them is,
I mean, I'm
a couple
doing
first round picks.
If I'm the Mavericks, I'm doing that. I mean, never mind the fact that a guy who can't play back to backs, you have to pay him now.
Well,
so
they may take the chance. Who knows?
Yeah, no.
Well,
if I'm Nico, I'm doing that.
Well, do you know? Oh, see, this is him.
Would you do that for the Heat?
Do you want Tar Eason?
Would you do that for
the
Heat?
I'm asking you as a Rocket fan.
I'm asking you, Tyler Hero. Somebody offered
you
Jay Sean Tate and Fred VanVleet.
I don't know.
Yeah, picks in the 30s.
So
pick number 27.
They have other people's picks. Wait a minute. They don't have their own.
He's hijacking your show with terrible trade ideas, John.
Maybe know the Rockets' assets. They don't just have their own picks. They have other people's picks.
Do the deal for Miami.
Oh, for what?
If this deal's out there,
who do you want?
For what?
We'll take your Tyler Hero.
You want Tyler Hero?
Yeah, you can have Fred.
As a shooting guard?
We're giving you Fred.
We're not desperate for a point guard.
We'll give you Fred and some picks, and we'll give you Jay Sean, and we'll give you Holiday, and we'll give you whatever that J.D. Davidson guy is. We'll give you all those. Look how many players you get.
I thought Tar Eason could have been the best player on this team.
Tar Eason is a good player for the Rockets. Why would the Rockets want to subract a good young player to get a 33-year-old? I don't understand why. Why would you get a 33-year-old?
Because you want to win a championship?
You have a 37-year-old now.
He's 32. Because you want to
win. Kevin Durant is not 32.
Kyrie
is 33.
He is 32.
Are you sure? Because I just saw something where he says he's 33.
Regardless, do the deal, Dell.
His birthday was in March.
They just grabbed the 37-year-old. You think they care about
Tyrese?
He'll be
34
age.
During the season this
and
year.
Kevin Durant will
be 30. These are dumb deals.
Kevin Durant will be 40 by the time he's done as
a Rocket. Not going to let you submarine our team. Rafael Stone's not going to let you make bad deals to submarine our team. Trust me. Your terrible deals to submarine the Rockets. You're a chaos agent.
By the way, this is the guy who didn't want Kevin Durant.
Yeah,
I was worried about the injuries for sure.
And now look at you.
And hopefully he stays.
How's
good.
It working out?
But it was never his personality. It was never the fact that you just want to keep getting old and old for the Rockets, Rockets
and Dallas
lose.
Has not had an issue with Kyrie's personality.
I don't care. Then you know what? Then trade for the. Then get him for the Heat.
Did you all?
Get
I
him
don't,
for your
I
team.
Don't run the Heat, so I can't
get him for the
do
Heat.
That.
You don't run our team either. Keep that in mind.
Did y'all see Cade Cunningham's game last night?
Shot a lot. You shoot a lot because you spend a lot.
15 for 46. He set the modern-day record for most misses in a game.
Did
31.
He break Allen
Beat
Iverson
Kobe's record?
Oh, Kobe. Yeah, Kobe wasn't afraid to shoot a lot,
No,
too.
Kobe had missed 30 one game, the most misses since the merger in 76.
Did you see the top five list? It's Kobe, AI, Fred VanVleet.
No.
You made that up.
The list is actually Cade Cunningham, Kobe, Michael.
So all great players.
A bunch of shooters. Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Well, you can't be a bad shooter and get that many shots. Or somebody's going to beat you up on the team.
That's right. That's what Davis Mills said yesterday. Did you hear him? He said, or after the game, he said, man, I just forget. When I throw a bad pass, I'm like a shooter. I'm an NBA shooter. I'm just going to keep shooting. And he did. Listen, did you think the Texans could win with him throwing 46 passes or whatever he threw? What did he throw, 45, 46? I mean, he's like the Cade Cunningham out there.
That's great.
And they won.
The Cade
like
Cunningham.
Cade Cunningham did.
One of them's probably going to be all NBA. Davis Mills run out
all
this weekend.
NFL. Davis Mills will get a third contract.
Davis
from
Mills.
From the Texans.
He should beat out Jonathan Taylor for player of the week.
Yeah, he actually might get a third contract from the Texans if he keeps his mouth shut and takes a relatively fair team-friendly deal.
Yeah. Take $5-6 million?
Probably higher than that in the future.
Seven?
Yeah. 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 I'll probably keep him around again.
$7 million. What kind of job? He's got the greatest job ever. Elliot, what's going on? Elliot, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, morning, fellas. Doing good out in Dallas, so that's the only bad thing. But other than that, Dallas, I'm doing sucks. Well. Hey, got a question. Yeah, only thing good is 45 South, so getting out of here. So the question I have for Lance, I'm sure he hasn't done much digging on the draft coming up, but before the season started, it was like 8 quarterbacks or something that were projected to go in the top, 40 to 50 picks, and now it looks like there's only about 2, maybe 3, and I just wanted to get his feedback or y'all's feedback on the drop-off. I'm a big Steelers fan, and I was kind of looking forward to seeing how this Rodgers thing played out to get a pick to be able to draft one of these guys.
But not very well.
It doesn't look like that's going to work out in my favor, yeah. So just want to get your feedback on, A, you think somebody else will maybe move up, down? Is it look like it's only going to be the Bama and Indiana guy? Like, what are your thoughts on that? I know you haven't done much digging, but just want to get some insight.
No, I mean, I just watch football, and all three of us watch college football, and it's – I mean, every one of these guys has hurt. Carson Beck looked like he had a little, was making a little comeback and helping his brand, and that's fallen off. You've got
Aller benched.
Aller is Nussmeier, trying to get another
benched.
Year.
Lagway benched.
Nussmeier has some flashes that will excite somebody, and he'll get you beat. But his flashes will get him drafted. Lenore Sellers is somebody who has had bad offensive line play, so maybe you explain away some of that with that. Honestly, if I'm Sellers, I go back and get a bunch of money and go say, hey, I want to go to Oregon. Or, well, Dante Moore will go back. I'd leave South Carolina, just say, who can pay me the most money possible? And I'm just going to go be a Ronin for hire. And
Ty Simpson's going to leave.
I don't know for sure that Ty Simpson's leaving. If you're going to be the first pick, I guess you have to go.
He's
going to
be first.
Is that really what you want to do? Go be the first pick of like the Jets? How does that work? Wow. You literally could end up like Zach
going
Wilson.
To a crappy team, and you can't do.
Nah, not
that.
Always. There's some organizations that are better than others. C.J. Stroud went to an organization that was actually set up because of the draft and everything.
The assumption was
previous
he was
drafts.
Coming into a disaster.
Yeah.
You had already drafted Stingley, which he came off an injury riddled season. But my point is. Name the first year. Have you the 1 year quarterbacks? Have you done this study? Because I have. It's like Mitch Trubisky, Dwayne Haskins. It is a disaster for quarterbacks who have 1 year starting experience because you have not had any adversity, not really, and you don't know ball yet. You've only played college football for 1 year. It is a really low success rate for teams. So if you want to just try to take the short money and then bail out. But if your goal is to be the best player you can in pro football, and now they have rev share in NIL, I mean, Simpson can make you're telling me 8 million. Simpson can make, 5 to 8 million next year?
Yeah.
And he could learn more ball?
How do you rank the alleged adversity of having to sit for as long as he did? Because people were lauding him for not leaving.
Mac Jones
sitting.
Did the same thing.
Well, Mac Jones is a
I mean, that's not
starter.
Adversity. That's not adversity. I'm talking about when you have played bad and you got to go home and deal with it. And sometimes you don't always see that.
Yeah,
good
but where
schools.
Are you going to find at a good school?
But
Ty
adversity
Simpson.
Can also be throwing into coverages, making mistakes, having a hard time against the defense. I mean, adversity is relative. There's difficult family adversity and tragedy off the field.
That doesn't even have to be adversity. It just has to be reps. How many
yeah.
reps are you getting
well,
in a couple of years versus 1 year?
But if you don't have things go wrong, you have to be able to figure out a way to overcome difficulties. And that's the same thing, John. I mean, reps help you see things that you wouldn't have seen previously.
Right.
I mean, I'll give you another one. I'll give you another 1 year starter, Trey Lance.
Trey Lance
is a 1 year starter. Yeah. Mac Jones is a 1 year starter. The 1 year starter route is a recipe for disaster because you're going to a team that typically is not. And Trey Lance went to a very good spot.
Yeah.
He actually went to a very good spot in San Francisco. So I'm not saying Ty Simpson won't come because he might, because this is a year where there's not going to be a lot of quarterback competition. So he might. But if his goal is to be the best quarterback he can possibly be, history tells you go get at least a second year in. So you know more football, and you don't have to learn against grown men who run fast
and hit harder than you're going to see in college.
All right, we got a break, though. Are we behind? Or did you combine?
No, you have to break.
We're going to have a break. Okay, top of the – well, it's almost the top of the hour. It's close. So we'll break here. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. Let's go. Talking Texans on the other side.